In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible, having been written by many different people across many different times, doesn't always make it easy to follow. Now, I know all of you have read the Bible many times, cover to cover, and you might have run into this phenomenon. But we certainly have it here today, at least in part, that when Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he tells them about that to hold on to the gospel that I gave to you, and then goes through the litany of people he had talked to and who had been talked about this, that Jesus had appeared to Cephas. And you might go, Cephas, who in the world is Cephas? We haven't seen him before, but we have. Cephas is the Aramaic word for Petros, of course. I don't see any nodding heads. Petros is the word for rock. So, of course, we all know St. Rocky, right? Well, we know him better as St. Peter. No one would willingly attend St. Rocky's Basilica, I don't think. But Cephas and Peter are the same person, just in different languages. And then in the gospel reading, he's talking to Simon, who of course is also Peter. So he has three different names, depending upon what language you speak and where you met him. This is different from, say, James, which is always James, but it's like eight different people. And I always have to point out, this is our James, as opposed to James the Less, or James of Jerusalem, or James this and James that. So either there's one guy with six names, or six guys with one name, not to mention all the Marys who get involved in Scripture. You really need a flowchart to try to keep it all straight sometimes. And yet, at the same time, the message of Scripture, the overarching message from Genesis through Revelation, is a fairly simple one, although incredibly profound, that God loves us. I mean, everything you go through is Scripture. And no matter when you're reading Joshua, for example, where they're committing genocide in Cana, quite frankly, but still, the message overarching is of God's love for us. And it comes to fruition, to culmination, to the apex of the whole point in Jesus Christ. In fact, that was one of the problems the early church had, that the God revealed in Jesus Christ seemed so different at times from the God revealed to them already in Scripture. Scripture, in this case, being the Old Testament. They hadn't been writing the New Testament yet. How can this person, who provided fish for people, who fed people, who healed people, who spoke all the time of loving your enemies, be one and the same with a God who said, kill all your enemies? It was tough to figure that out. Still is. One guy named Marcion worked it this way. He said, the God in the Old Testament, that's not the Father of Jesus Christ. That's a different deity. No, let's clear that up right now. That is a heresy. The God of the Old Testament, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is indeed the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same God revealed. The difference is not in God. It's in how God's creation, how God's creatures, how we have perceived God. And in the Old Testament, I think it was necessary that people understand God as this mighty warrior type. That was the only way they understood strength. What made a king great was how many of his enemies he could vanquish. And so they needed to understand God that way. But people changed. They evolved. They grew. And finally, the time was right for people to understand God as is most fully possible to do in Jesus Christ. And yes, the God revealed in Jesus Christ does seem different on the surface, but is not. The God revealed in Jesus Christ is even stronger than the God thought of by the people. Because God taught that it's not, Jesus taught that it's not might of arms that makes someone great or strong. It's through service, through helping. If you're going to be great, you must be a servant to others. That greatness comes not from controlling others, but from serving others. when Jesus Christ was teaching to the crowds, he had to get on a boat. There were so many people crowded around him. We don't seem to have that problem. There's plenty of seats here. But you can imagine a circumstance where they were so crowded in on him, he couldn't even gesture with his arms. He has to go sit on a boat a little way from shore to get some space so people could hear. And after he does this, he wants to reward Peter. Peter's put in a full night. They were cleaning up the nets. They were done for the day, ready to go home and try to get some sleep. But he says, look, I appreciate you letting me use your boat. Let me reward you. Go on out a little further. Drop your nets. And Peter's like, okay, that's nice and all, but dude, we're ready to hit the hay. It's been a long night. I still smell like fish, even though we didn't catch any. I felt something like bait. Let's go. All right, we'll go out. We'll drop the nets. And they do. And you have this miraculous catch of fish. It breaks the nets as they're trying to haul it in. They have to bring in the other boat to get all the fish. And even then, it weighs them down so much. And it's then that Peter realizes what's going on. I don't know if he wasn't really paying attention during Jesus' sermon. He was busy cleaning nets or what have you. But that's not what caused the light to shine in his eyes. It was when he went out and he caught all these fish and he realized, I'm in the presence of something different. And his first thought is, I don't deserve to be here. Much as Isaiah had said hundreds of years before, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a land of people with unclean lips. I don't deserve to be in the presence of this. And that's the way humanity is. We feel uncomfortable in the presence of goodness. We have names for it: goody two-shoes, brown noser. We don't look with joy at someone who does good. We only recognize our own shortcomings so often. And such as it was with Christ. The reason why Jesus made people so mad is because they realized how right he was, how righteous he was. They didn't feel comfortable in his presence at times. Not if they thought of themselves as righteous. Now, the ones who Jesus attracted were the ones who knew they were no good. Tax collectors, prostitutes, sinners of all stripe. They found acceptance and love in our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the ones who felt like they knew exactly what God wanted and were doing it that felt uncomfortable with Jesus. They put into stark contrast what God was really like and what they were really doing. And the only way they could respond to it was by getting rid of it, killing it, sending it away, burying it. And when they did, God raised them from the dead anyway. Because God is more powerful than our discomfort. God is more powerful than our dis-ease at situations. And although we might not want to follow God's call, that we're a bit hesitant to say, it is I, Lord, that you're calling, God still calls. And God promises that God will help us with that call. God doesn't call us to do things that we can't do. God calls us to do things that we can do through him. That's the whole point of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That we have the strength of very God at our disposal to do those things that God has called us to do. So even if at times we feel uncomfortable, we feel like we're not worthy, well, we're not. So let's deal with that. But it's okay. People other than me have said God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. And that's true no matter who says it. Because we are all called to live lives modeled after the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all have access to the power and the strength to do that. Because God doesn't call us to do things and then leave us to our own devices, but wants to work through us so that we are ever more drawn into God and God into us. That more and more we become like God. That's our ultimate destiny. That God wants us, draws us in, seeks to transform us, never leaves us where we are, but calls us to higher and higher levels, to be more and more like him, despite ourselves. So we may think that we're people of unclean lips. We may feel we're unworthy to be in the presence of God. And as true as that is, God makes us worthy. Through Jesus Christ, we are made worthy to stand before Him, to sing His praises, and to answer His call. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.